Everybody sing along. Let's get some runs. Oh, boy. It is baseball season. We are halfway through baseball season. The All-Star break is upon us. The Cubs and Sox get back going on Friday. It's Friday. Vic, you said Friday, Cubs day game, Sox night game. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay.
Cubs 120, White Sox, I think, like 9-7. They're on the
West Coast. Yeah, okay. So baseball, we got a little break. It's halfway through the season, and we always like to bring in Michael Osaki, who is with us. And welcome, Michael. How are you?
Thank you. Good to be back, Nick. Thanks.
Absolutely. Always a lot of fun. Michael is a memorabilia expert. His website is baseballintheattic.com. We'll talk a little bit about that. He's been traveling around the country. In regard to, you know, helping people out and appraising things, writing for Parade, and you can read the articles there, and we'll tell you about that, and we'll talk about some of those. And, of course, our phone lines and our text lines are now open. Gets pretty busy when Michael is here. If you have some baseball cards or some sports memorabilia in general of any kind, and you would like to maybe get a ballpark figure on how much it's worth, no pun intended, call us up at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So, Michael, tell everybody your story. It's a great one. It's one I think a lot of people have, how you ended up getting a shoebox full of baseball cards. Tell the story about how you got all started.
Yeah, Nick, it's hard to believe, but almost 20 years ago, in 1997, for my birthday, my grandfather brought me a shoebox full of very old baseball cards for my birthday.
Yeah.
And the reason why he bought them for me was because up until that point, I was jumping on my bicycle and going to the local pharmacy and grocery store, buying all the new stuff, all the modern, current basketball, football, baseball cards.
Not just baseball, but all
sports, yeah. So my grandfather thought, hey, you know what? Michael likes cards. Let me get him some old cards that he's never ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened up that shoebox, inside the cards were, they were old cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it got started all that time ago.
Yeah, and then you just started your interest developed, and then you went beyond baseball cards and sports cards into memorabilia, just to educate yourself on that as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just jumped headfirst and just tried to learn as much information as I could about everything: cards, mm-hmm. autographs, programs, scorecards, bats, like you name it. It was so interesting.
In the past, you've brought some really cool stuff into the studio, not just baseball cards, but programs and other things that you've brought in that were really great. Do you have like a couple of favorite things that are in your collection?
Yeah, gosh.
I know it's hard because you have so much stuff. But
I have a Babe Ruth signed baseball, which I think is pretty cool. Even though I'm not a Yankees fan, I just think that, you know, Babe Ruth, when you think about the history of baseball.
Oh, sure.
Is really impressive. I have some really old programs, and what I like about them is when you open them up, the advertising inside is just so different.
You brought some programs in one time to the studio, and those were so cool to go through and look. I like the ones. My favorites are you brought a couple of scorecards in. I like looking at how the game played out. Mm-hmm. Like if someone obviously kept score in it, and who batted what and all that other stuff, and just to see how the game went, if it was an exciting game and there were lots of runs scored. That's kind of really it's like a moment in time captured.
Yeah, and what I like about that kind of is fading, as people still don't really back then, the 50s and 60s, people always kept score.
Oh, I did in the 70s for sure.
But now
my dad and I did,
And that's a good bonding experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like now, if you go to Wrigley Field tomorrow, the Cubs are back in town, you may see just a few select people keeping score.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. It is kind of a lost thing, and I miss that because I used to go, in the 70s, during most of my childhood, like late 60s and into the 70s. And I went every day because I lived six blocks away from Wrigley.
Cool.
So it was like I lived right on Addison, six blocks away from Wrigley. So during the summer, I would just walk to Wrigley and go in. That was back when you could do that in those days. And you'd see all the guys with the transistor radios listening to WGN at the time. And they would have the earpiece in, and they would be keeping score and, watching the game. It would be the same guys. Like there would be like the same group of like 100 guys scattered throughout the park who had their transistor radios and were keeping score the entire game. And There was a period of time when I would go to the games. We would go to the games in the 90s. And my friends and I would go and we would sit in the right field bleachers. We were in the right field bleachers all the time. And there was a full summer where I wasn't employed, and I went every day to the park. And this was at a time when I'm not a drinking man anymore, but there was a long period of time when I was. And in the 90s, we'd go to the games, and you could absolutely tell by looking at our scorecard our sobriety level. But right around the fourth inning, things started to get a little squiggly. They would change a little bit. By the eighth or ninth, we stopped taking score at all. It was so lame. But you can just tell that if you want to go back in time to check out scorecards, that I don't think I have them anymore. But if I ever had them, you could go, let's see, sober, tipsy, hammered. And just by looking at the innings of our scorecard. So, but it's fun to do. I wish people would do it more often,
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
All right, listen, Michael, hang on because we got a break for the news. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. We already got a bunch of texts coming in.
Great.
And Michael Osaki is a sports memorabilia expert. He's an appraiser. If you have stuff laying around the house, baseball cards, sports memorabilia of any kind, autographs, Michael is going to help you out. 312-981-7200. We're going to break for the news, and then we'll go right to the phones and the texts and help you out right here on WGN. Oh, yeah. It's the best sports team song of all time. And written by Richard Marx's dad. I always like to throw that in there. And speaking of which, we've got a pair of passes to give away later on tonight, this morning, between now and 5 a.m. At some point, you will have a chance to get a pair of passes to the completely sold-out 9th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention. It's this weekend at the Hilton Chicago, and I've got two passes to give away, so stay tuned for that. We're playing sports stuff because Michael Osaki is with us. He is a sports expert, a memorabilia expert, and appraiser, and a contributor to Parade Magazine. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. We've got some texts coming in, some phone calls coming in. And again, the phone lines are open. If you have sports memorabilia laying around the house and you're kind of wondering what it might be worth, call us or text us, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You know, the sports, that we were just playing the Hawks theme. I've been lucky enough I've got a pretty good connection with the Blackhawks organization, and I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of the guys and get autographs and all kinds of cool stuff. And one of the things that I'm most happy with is I've got a jersey that's been signed by every ambassador. So I don't know how much that's worth because I'm not selling it because I don't care. I don't care how much it's worth. It's mine. So that's all there is to it. All right. Are we going to go to the phones here?
Let's do it.
And we'll do some texts as well. And again, 312-981-7200. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
I have something I picked up probably in the early 50s when I was a kid. And what it is, it's a tapestry-like thing. It's about nine, it's like a silky thing. They're all baseball cards. But there's silk, or they're cloth. No, maybe not silk.
But cloth baseball cards, you said from around, you're thinking around the 50s?
I picked it up then. The players are like the 20s and the 30s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tom.
I kind of looked it up a little bit, and it seemed like in the early 1900s they sold baseball cards.
Yeah, Michael, tell us about that.
Yeah, that's
cigarettes.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate the call. Yeah, and that's exactly right. So when you first called in about the cloth, I thought that they were from the early 1900s, early 1910s, actually. And those can be very, very fragile. A lot of times the cloth is kind of coming apart. I don't exactly know what condition yours are in, but it sounds like this was definitely manufactured by a company as opposed to being a folk art piece. Mm. Usually they had some of the great Hall of Famers around there, Walter Johnson, Ty Cobb, and they come in different colors too. And some of the colors are more difficult than others. So, for example, if you have a cloth with a purple infield, that's more difficult than the red and the yellow version, mm-hmm. generally speaking.
Now, were they sold just as cloths, or were they part of something else? Like, if you bought a different product, would they come with that, or?
They were sold just as cloths.
Okay.
And that's actually a good question, because in that era, usually baseball cards were, sold into something. They were put in packages of tobacco, or they were put in packages of Cracker Jacks,
right,
to sell the product.
So they were, yeah, a lot of them were involved. Like you buy a product, you would get the card in addition to that.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. And how much possibility in a ballpark figure Tom's collection might be worth,
yeah,
or
Tom,
just a little bit?
Tom, just out of curiosity, do you have several of them or just one or two?
Well, there's a whole lot of them, and what they are, they're sewn together, mm-hmm, and like a tapestry. And there's about 36 of them, I guess, 7 times 4, something like that.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it in a few years. It's at my son's house.
Okay.
Well, what do you think? What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, I think it's about $300,
$325. Yeah, and Tom, right around $300. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
And again, let's just preface this by saying that it's always better if you can see the items that we're talking about.
Yes.
Like this is just kind of a cursory, like, ballpark figure that you're giving. You could give a much more exact figure if you see it. But you do appraising. Tell everybody about the appraising that you do.
Yes. So I am a certified appraiser by the National Association of Professional Appraisers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people will call me in for insurance purposes. If they want something insured, God forbid there's a fire or flood,
yeah,
they need to have documentation. If somebody gets divorced, they'll call me in because, again, the judge needs to know how much something is worth.
Right.
And also there are other times where somebody is just curious to know, okay, well, I may want to pass this down to my grandkids.
Right.
And I need written documentation to know in 2016 this is how much it's worth.
Right.
Granted, prices do fluctuate, as with everything. But people are always curious.
Right. Now, how can people get a hold of you if they want something appraised, if they can't get through this morning?
Sure. There's a couple of ways. You can call me, 312-379-9090. You can email me, michael@baseballintheattic.com. Or if you go to my website, baseballintheattic.com, there is a link on the Contact Us link. You can fill it out and I'll contact you in 24 hours.
There you go. And all the, by the way, the link to the website is on our Facebook page.
Great.
So if you like us on our Facebook page, you're part of our Facebook page, just go to that, click in there. And if you've got something that you want appraised, you can check it out there at facebook.com/Nick D Show. 847 area code, text it in. I have a football signed by the 2012 New England Patriots team, and it does have a certificate of authenticity.
Wonderful. Tom Brady. The Patriots have been kind of like the darlings ever since Tom Brady.
Yes, they have.
You know, ever since he jumped in the league from Michigan. If it's signed by at least 40 members of the Patriots team, generally speaking, when we talk about team signed items, for a baseball, it should have at least 18 members on the team. With a football, we're talking 40, 42, maybe even as many as 45 members on a team, because obviously football is much, much bigger squad.
Yeah, right.
But that football could be worth anywhere from, depending upon condition, the signatures, $500 to maybe even close to $1,000.
Wow, that's great. All right, 773 area code says, I have a picture from Michael Jordan's restaurant. The picture is of MJ in his Birmingham Barons uniform, and it is made out to the clubhouse manager, and I got it from his restaurant auction.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting item.
Yeah, his restaurant was not too far from here on the sales street. I think right now it's Gino's East.
It's Gino's East, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was there probably 20 years ago.
It was all before it was Michael Jordan's restaurant. It was Chicago Improv. It was a comedy club.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Improvisation, yeah.
I remember going to the restaurant way back
when.
Wow, good memories there. But when something is signed to somebody else, it's very specific. And usually the value decreases a little bit because, for example, if you want to sell that to me, for instance, if you got something Nick signed to you and you try and sell it to me, well, my name is Michael, not Nick, and so I may not pay as much as I would otherwise.
Right.
But this is a piece signed by Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's today, his autograph is always in demand, whether it's on a jersey or, in this particular case, a photo.
Mm-hmm.
So without seeing it, I'm going to say $300.
Okay. And again, it's better if it's not personalized. If you're a collector, you know this. But if it's like to whoever you are, it's not worth as much. That's like when you have an author sign a first edition in a book. I mean, that's kind of a memorabilia thing. Yeah. It's much better if it's not personalized, if it's just the person's signature.
Always 100% true.
Okay. G sent in a text that says, I have many baseball cards, including Topps 87 and 88 Roger McDowell, 87 Mookie Wilson, 84 Willie Akins, 89 Cal Ripken, and 88 Ron Guidry. Now, these are from the 80s, and that generally wasn't a great time for baseball cards.
No, it wasn't, Nick. So in the 80s and 90s, even up till today, the printing presses could mass produce these cards. And so today, unfortunately, there really is almost no value. So in that this particular case, maybe for all of those cards you just mentioned, maybe $5 total, there really absolutely is no value. There is no market. There's nobody that's looking for these cards at all.
Right.
And not just here in Illinois, but across the country.
Right. And it's because they were all overproduced. One of the other things that you always say, Michael, when you come on, is that the less that there were of the item, the more it's worth.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And in the 80s, they could produce these cards around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the 50s and 60s, that was not the case.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Janet on WGN. Hi, Janet.
Hi. How are you doing, Janet?
All right. What's up?
Years ago, when Cal Ripken Jr., whatever his name was.
It's Cal Ripken Jr., yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Unbeknownst to him, took his rookie picture with the knob. His teammates thought they would pull a joke on him and write.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not Cal Ripken Jr. That's that's his brother,
Billy Ripken.
It's Billy Ripken. Yeah. Card. You can't. You can't say what's written on the nub of the bat on the radio, Janet.
No. You can't.
No.
I just gave some little initials, but anyways, he has it. So.
All right, is that worth any? I mean, this is a notorious baseball guy. Tell the quick story behind what happened. It's Billy Ripken.
So, in fact, the entire Ripken family has been in baseball. So Cal and Billy's father, Cal Sr., played ball. And so
at one point, they all played together.
Yes.
Which is really insane.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of interviewing Cal Ripken Jr. And down in the Showcase studio a couple of years ago, I interviewed him. And he's one of the nicest guys you could possibly meet. He's a big dude. I had no idea how big he was.
Oh.
He's a big guy. He's a real big guy. But tell the story behind this.
Yeah. So this was 87 Fleer. 87 Fleer Billy Ripken. What happened was Billy and his brother Cal Ripken Jr. were playing on the same team, the Baltimore Orioles. And for some reason, Billy was notorious. He could never find his bat. He used the wrong bat. It was crazy. And so his brother Cal, the Hall of Famer, tried to play a joke on his younger brother Billy and said, I am going to make sure that Billy never ever again misplaces his bat. He knows what bat is his. And so Cal Ripken Jr. put something that wasn't very nice on the knob of his bat.
By the way, it's not, we can't say it on the air, but if you just Google Billy Ripken baseball card, it'll pop up and you can see what it is. And I think it's a hysterical thing, a hysterical joke. But now, he did not know when he took the picture for the baseball card. Because the question is, did he know when he did it on purpose? But he didn't. He just took the bat and...
Yeah.
Exactly.
He didn't know. He took the bat and posed. Now, what's also interesting, on a side note, there were rumors at the time that the photographer for Fleer that took that picture viewed this as a huge win, a huge coup, because they were competing against several other companies in the late 80s, and they thought with this picture, this was going to vault them to star status.
Yeah.
And so...
You said... who you have the card, Janet?
My son has it.
Your son, okay. Is it worth anything? Is that card worth anything?
Back in the day, that was the hottest card ever. They were selling for hundreds of dollars. Now, you can go on eBay and buy one for about $5 or $6.
Oh, it's not worth anything
there
now.
There you go.
Janet. Yeah.
So,
it's funny. It's
and throw away all the cards.
We hate when that happens. Janet, we got to run, but thanks for the call.
Thank you.
How many nightmare stories have you heard about that, where it's like a parent or somebody throws away like a bunch of baseball cards?
All the time.
It happened to my dad.
All the time.
It happened to my dad. My dad had a barrel full of baseball cards. They ended up dumping them. I know, to my dad's eternal regret. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I know. Look at how sad Michael got all of a sudden because of that. All right, we got a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Michael Osaki. We've got a bunch of texts coming in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The website is baseballintheattic.com. Throw your phone number out again, so people, if they want to get something appraised.
312-379-9090.
All right, we'll be right back. Yeah. I see, Dan, you chose this over the Olympic theme. We were talking about this last. Nick DiGilio, by the way. Welcome to the show, everybody. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, we're going to have some live music. Returning to the show is singer-songwriter David Hayes. He's got a gig coming up this Sunday. We'll tell you about that and listen to some music. Michael, last week we were, or a couple of weeks. When was it, Dan? A couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
I always lose track. We do 5 shows a week, man. I swear to God. I don't know what's going on half the time. We were talking about some of the best music composed, like, you know, greatest themes. And the Olympic theme that John Williams composed for the 1984 Olympics, or the 84?
I want to say 84.
Okay, 84 Olympics was chosen as the best, and Dan disagrees. He likes the Monday Night Football theme better.
Ah.
So there you go. All right, let's get back to some of this stuff. 773 area code says, I have a Bob Gibson autographed ball. How much is that worth?
$75.
$75, all right. Now, this is an interesting one. Bill says, I have a Stan Mikita game-used hockey stick that he was using when the curvature rule was put into place. It exceeds the curvature rule, so he could no longer use it. It's not broken. It was given to me as a kid by the equipment manager for opposing teams at the stadium. The hockey stick is Gunzo's 21 stamp, and then I had Stan sign it years ago. That's got to be worth something, right?
That's a very unique piece,
yeah.
Nick. There aren't too many of those floating around out there.
Absolutely not.
So let's talk value. Minimum of $1,000 without seeing it and looking at the condition and some other things I need to look at. Minimum of $1,000. It's probably going to be more, but the best thing to do is just shoot me an email, michael@baseballintheattic.com, with a couple of pictures.
Yeah, make sure we, you know, if he gets a look at it, Bill, it might be, but that's definitely worth something. I mean, that's a good piece. Jesse says, I have a Chicago Tribune front page printing plate of the 2010 Blackhawks championship Kiss the Cup. Is that worth anything? Wow, that's, what did he do? Did he steal it from here? What happened?
Yeah, I was
what is he?
It kind of makes me think that it's not one, and like there's probably a lot of them. If you have one,
yeah, maybe it was an item that they just manufactured, right? It was like a gimmick thing. It's like, hey, here's a replica of the print press thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, you'd have to do some research on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say if it's a replica, not much money
not
at all.
Not much. All right. We got Bulls championship stuff here. Bob says he has a bunch of memorabilia from Bulls championship. All 6 championship shirts, 5 years with tags, never worn. The 1991 shirt was worn once and washed. Well, that's worth the price of a T-shirt. You might want to wear it again. And then, but what about the ones that weren't washed? That's not worth anything, right? I mean, with the tags?
You know, I haven't checked recently, but a couple years ago, there was someone selling on eBay the three-peat shirt for, I think it was like $30 or $35.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All 6 championship Wheaties boxes.
Total, you're looking at maybe $30 for all of them.
Okay. Many Chicago Sun-Times full editions with playoff and championship victories on the front page and sports pages.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find someone who is willing to buy it, and maybe they'd probably only buy it for $10.
Yeah, and then a red plastic hat with white plastic Chicago Bulls horns.
I think that was a giveaway, perhaps. I don't really know, but nominal value there.
Okay. Now, this is a piece of memorabilia. It's not necessarily sports. This is an interesting one. I don't know if you know. I don't know if you can answer this one. 815 area code says, "How much are the Desert Storm cards worth? Series 1 and 2." Did people ever ask you about that? You remember the Desert Storm cards?
Yeah, 1991. I actually have a set at home.
Do you? Yeah. Are they worth anything?
No. No.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick, Michael. I've got a set of they're kind of baseball trading card size cards of color drawings of each one is a different baseball stadium. I've got about 40 of them. I may have a few more somewhere stashed away and everything. I bought them from through the mail from RJF Graphics out of Los Angeles, and I know the guy that was selling them. When I get them in the mail, the envelopes with the cards in it would be addressed in ink, you know, with a pen to my address and everything like that. And I was wondering if you know anything about these cards.
So I don't know what you have, but I can guarantee you if you send me a picture, I'll know exactly what it is. But it's tough for me to visualize what these are. right now.
Right. What is your web address again?
My email is michael@baseballintheattic.com. My website is baseballintheattic.com.
All right, Mike.
Okay, good. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Let's see. Brian says, I have a giveaway I'm wondering about. It's a Ron LaFleur baseball bat given away on Kids Day at Comiskey Park. It happened in 81 or 82 or 83. What about those baseball giveaways? Are they, if you save that stuff, some of them worth anything?
No.
No. I mean, that's why they're called giveaways.
Yeah.
I think so. All right, here's June on WGN. Hey, June.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead. You can turn on your radio, right. June.
I have a Ron Santo pin with his picture on it in a blue background, and it's dated Ron Santo Day, August 28th, 1971.
Hi, June. Thanks for calling. So that pin is going to be worth between $10 and $15.
$10 and $15.
Yeah.
All right. Another one of those specific giveaways. Before we get back to this and let you go, some of the stuff that you've been writing lately in Parade, I would like to touch on a couple of those things. Like, for instance, you talked about you wrote a piece about the Marlins man. Tell everybody about the Marlins man and what he's been doing lately.
Yeah, so I'm guessing most of your listeners have been watching, whether it's football, baseball, any type of major sporting event, and they see a guy always in the camera view. He's got his Marlins visor, Marlins jersey on. His name is Lawrence Levy. Lives in Florida. And he gets the best seats at every game. And so I interviewed him for Parade magazine. Fascinating guy. He donates a lot of his time and money to help people out. Like in Kansas City, there were a couple fallen firefighters. He donated $20,000 to the firefighters' families. He donates things to children's hospitals. So a lot of times people see him behind home plate and are jealous. Oh, he pays a lot of money to get these best seats. But he really is doing a lot of great things. And if you read the article that I wrote for Parade, I think you'll find him to be very interesting and also someone who's trying to pay it forward.
Yeah. That's what comes out from the article that you wrote, was that, you know, he also takes a bunch of people to these games with him.
Yeah.
He's got these extraordinary seats, and a lot of the people that come with him are sick kids or people who definitely could never afford to have an experience like that. So it's, you know, it's a pretty interesting story, and you can read that as part of what you've written for Parade. Buffy says, I have an all-star weekend program from January 1991, signed by Chris Chelios. It was the last all-star game played at Chicago Stadium.
$35.
$35. All right. Okay. And I think we got time for one quick call. Here's Mary on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
We have a Walter Payton rookie card, beautiful mint condition, signed by Walter Payton.
Walter Payton was the very first professional athlete I ever met. If you go to my website, you'll see a picture of me and him when I was 13 years old.
And Walter,
it's
yeah.
quite funny. Mint condition, signed by Walter, you're talking maybe $300-$400, somewhere in there. It actually, if it was in mint condition without the autograph, it actually would be worth more. But still, $300 or $400 is pretty good.
There you go, Mary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Okay,
Esmeralda was doing a little research here on one of the items that we were talking about. You were looking online, Esmeralda. What do you got?
Yeah, I just did a quick search for that Tribune press plate.
Yeah.
$35.
Oh, it's $35.
Yeah, I think you can. I think it was the Tribune website.
You can even buy it at the Tribune website. So it's not. I thought maybe the guy actually took the real plate from the building, and I was like, well, you might. You know, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but you might not want to admit that it's only been 6 years. So, all right, thanks, Esmeralda. All right, so if people want to get a hold of you again, Michael, the best way to do it, your website is baseballintheattic.com.
Yep, or by phone. I'm available for the next 30 minutes, 312-379-9090, or email michael@baseballintheattic.com.
He's got his phone with him right now, and if you couldn't get through, and I know a ton of people called in, we had a bunch of texts. If you couldn't get through, one more time with the phone number.
312-379-9090.
But the best way for you to accurately appraise the stuff is to see it. That's the most important thing.
Send me pictures via email or text message.
Okay. All right. Yep. There you go. All right, Michael, always a pleasure, man.
It's so much fun coming
in. We'll have you back, you know, during another, I don't know, football season or something.
No,
like
I'm
that.
Coming in October for the World Series.
Oh, the World
Cubs.
Series. That's right. When the Cubs, the World Series.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry, the way they've been playing lately, I keep forgetting that that's a possibility. Michael, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got the news, and after that, we'll have some live music with David Hayes.